All right, let's jump right into it. Have you noticed that certain celebrities are now coming out talking about how other artists are selling their souls, how other artists are in the occult, how other artists are sacrificing either loved ones or children or whatever? Now, all of a sudden, these artists who have been around for at least 20, 30 years, for instance, Salt from Salt and Pepper, she came out and said, well, the industry is shady. People are sacrificing. They're getting into the occult, but they won't tell you what that occult is. So now the truth is coming to the surface, which I love. The truth is coming to the surface so much, and now it's snatching the popularity away from certain celebrities. So they are forced now to intervene. Forced to intervene. To steer the conversation back into going nowhere. But if regular people who are finding out the truth are digging, they're sending you on a deeper and further rabbit hole than any celebrity can, because celebrities act like this has just came up out of nowhere. They're not paying attention to us and seeing what we're saying and trying to somehow garnish attention, but now talking about the truth, because you can't talk about anything else. In order for the celebrity world to stay relevant, they have to mirror what people are saying that's becoming popular. And since the truth in religion is becoming popular, this is why they have to move or coordinate their images, the puppets that they use, to snatch attention away. So it's just funny to me that these celebrities that are coming out saying that their sacrifices going on, the occult is in the entertainment industry, but they won't say what it is. They won't say it's Freemasonry. And if these people are behind the scenes and have foreknowledge of who's actually participated in certain occult practices, they won't do it. They make it seem like they don't have the names. They don't have stories. They don't know the people who may not be artists, but the people who are above them in the record companies. They act like they don't know these people. And they say very blanket statements so that you could pay attention to them, or they'll become trending or viral for just a little while, and then you won't hear anything else about them. The only person that's really spoke out, and she really wasn't a real celebrity, was Jaguar White, right? She was the only one that's even was at the tip of the iceberg that was really telling stories and giving details. Other than that, everybody's just acting like, we don't know who these people are, but we know it's going on. I just found that hilarious. This whole AI thing is getting out of control too. I seen a video where a guy explained that high schoolers are now using AI for their highlight reels. And I said this before. If you ever remember when you watched NFL on Fox, they've always did the promo or the intro with this mechanical robot. And that's all you saw. The beginning was a robot. And that kept forcing that on you. The robot spiking or playing a game. The intro and the outro, and sometimes at commercial breaks, was the robot twirling around a football. That was them preparing you, programming you for what could be. Now, I saw those highlight tapes. They're all over Twitter or X. When you see those highlight reels that are AI, you got to know, from all the AI engines that popped up out of nowhere within the last 6 or 7 months, and you've seen how good the quality is of some of these AI videos, it's not far-fetched. For the NFL, when their CBA is up in 2031 in March, that say they do a little shutdown, a scripted shutdown, because you know everything is scripted with these people, a scripted shutdown where they're like, okay, players don't want to sign the new CBA that probably relinquished some control or marketing, or some money is not being handed over to the NFLPA, so forth. So they do a little fake shutdown and say like they don't sign until week 4 or 5. So they'll do like maybe AI preseason games, and then people wouldn't know anyway. I don't think people would pay attention to it anyway, to know if it was real or not. All that we would know is that we would say it's not scripted anymore. it's not rigged because now you take the human component out of it and it's just ran by a computer. So you can't say it's rigged or it's phony, which is the reason why they've been bringing this scripted psyop ritual in front of your face. Now that they know we know that it's scripted, now they're putting it in your face because they have a solution for it. And I think AI is that solution. Remember, I think I played you the clip from the 1973 cartoon Super Friends. If I didn't play it on this show, I know I posted it on my Instagram, the 2 Larry Johnson 7-1. And they was ready for this. So say like they strike. Since the NFLPA already owns the imaging and the licensing of players, because in order for us to be in Madden or any video game that has to do with the NFL, we sign and we get a check for us for them to use our likeness. When Madden was a big, really big thing, when we go to the Pro Bowl, we used to sit, I think, in this little seat, and they used to do like imaging so they could use your actual face in the game. Before, you know, it was just no helmets. I mean, you see no faces in Madden. Like Madden 93, 94, 95, you didn't see any faces. It was just men spinning around and just the number attached. Now, because technology and video games have become very advanced and popular, now you see the faces. Now the helmet comes off, and now you can kind of make the player do whatever you want. So the NFLPA holds the licensing of players. So even if they still don't play, the NFL can go to the NFLPA, strike up a deal, and say, let's use these images and we can just pay the players. You maybe wouldn't pay them their salary, but you would pay a fee to use their images because we already signed it. The players have already signed to have their likeness used already for the video gaming consoles. And then you would see AI. You would see how good AI looks now with, you know, the movies that they created with these prompts. Just imagine watching an NFL football game and it's all AI, but you see the players that you would think be on the field, they're actually striking. I think that's where it could go, especially if they do a whole shutdown and they really wanted to prove to you that they can control everything. That would be the most logical move if you wanted to save money, not only as a team owner, but everybody involved. Like, you wouldn't have to pay a player 60, 70 mil. You wouldn't have to worry about a salary cap. You wouldn't have to worry about paying disability payments or concussion settlements from here on out. Because if they strike, you got AI, people wouldn't care. They would just look at it like, oh, okay, it's. I know that it's not rigged now because AI is controlling it, but at least I'll still get to see my favorite player play. What if they did an all Madden team like AI? You get to see like Jim Brown, Gale Sayers, Joe Namath, Dick Knight, Train Lane, Bronco Nagurski. These guys, y'all may not know, but I'm a for real NFL historian. Marion Motley, like old school players that you never got a chance to see, like Walter Payton, Earl Campbell, players that you never seen while you were young or whatever, and they throw them in an AI game and being able just to watch. I think people would be entertained and watch it, really. I think so. And if you knew you could do it with football, I know you got to know they could do that with basketball easily. I mean, basketball is already heading downhill anyway. It's not really popular as it once was. I mean, they basically just sit out there in the three-point line and just shoot. And then they do a couple of one-on-ones, but it's not anything aggressive. They kind of let the star players go by them and dunk, and they jog up and down. It's like, I don't know how people watch it game in and game out. Like 82 some games. I don't see how people sit there and watch it or go to the games, but hey. But I think that's where we're moving. Because we have to understand that Satan wants all of the worship. He's not going to want Hollywood to have any more Hollywood stars. I think this is the other reason why I think they're just giving people stars away. This is anybody. You don't even gotta be an actor anymore. You could be a musician, you could be just somebody who just sacrificed for a while, and they just give you a star. I think they're just doing that because they know when Satan jumps on the scene, when the Antichrist comes in, the beast system comes in, the beast wants all of your attention. He wants all of your worship. For those 42 months, for those 3.5 years, he wants all the attention. He's not going to be like, okay, I'm allow Hollywood and these stars to keep doing these award shows and getting these red carpets. They're not going to want none of that. The beast is not going to want any of that. Satan's not going to want any of that. He wants his time to shine. He wants to be out forefront and be like, this is who I am. This is who you've been worshiping. The false apostle, the antichrist, they have to be on the front stage so it can't be anymore taking our eyes off the beast and then marveling at NFL, NBA, hockey, or Hollywood. I don't think it's going to be any of that. This is why they're pushing AI so fast and so hard. All you got to do is formulate. Since the mob runs these unions, which is why I think they put strikes in front of your face, especially out of the entertainment industry, is because they want Hollywood shut down so you can rely on just getting AI movies. So you have an excuse to see AI. And once you get AI, you're getting scripted everything. You're getting whatever they want or whoever owns. Like for instance, the Edison family. Yeah, Larry Ellison and David Ellison, father and son. One owns Oracle and the other had just made a deal to buy up almost everything that Netflix tried to go after. So Paramount owns a lot. I'm like 40% of entertainment Paramount owns. And the family that owns Paramount, like I said, is Larry and David Ellison. And of course, they're Jewish. But they get to save all the money if they can make all their programming start being infiltrated by AI. You don't have to pay actors. You don't have to pay the set writers. You don't have to do nothing. You just type in prompts and just let everything work for itself. We're going to get state-run TV. I wanted to make that clear. It's going to be state-run. It'll be just like 1984. We won't have any originality anymore. You will tell it's not going to be original. It's going to be state-sponsored stuff. So you just imagine if they're already putting transgenderism and stuff in front of your face and in children's cartoons and movies, just imagine that being, that's all you see. That they can't have you can't have a character without it being non-binary or trans. So this is why the Most High is telling us to get out of Babylon. Start relinquishing your attachment to entertainment. Because I'm telling you, if you're going to go down with the ride, you're going to go down with the ride. With me, if you're attached to entertainment, you can't let it go. That means you're going to absorb all the other entertainment that they're going to manipulate using AI or using whoever. And your soul is going to be, your ruach is going to be corrupted. And plus, the more you watch that particular type of AI and that entertainment, you won't know what Project Bluebeam actually is. Now, we can always say and joke and laugh, like, oh, we know when it's coming. But it says in scripture, even the elect, if it was even a chance, even the elect could be fooled. That's how strong I think and real AI is that they're bringing into it. Like that whole Charlie Kirk situation, they used a hologram. But people were fooled. Majority of the nation was fooled. All they are doing is perfecting what they have. I guarantee you, if they showed you Charlie Kirk, that means they already had this technology around 2000. So just imagine what they get ready to show you, that it's going to feel really real. I remember the movie Total Recall. Even then, they showed us with the hologram when Arnold Schwarzenegger and the girl in the last scene of the movie, how they had the hologram and it looked real and people were shooting at the hologram and then they came out and shot them. I'm telling you, they were already ahead of us. Already ahead of us. We just don't know what that technology is going to look like when it's really came to the fullness of its time. We really won't understand it. We will just joke and laugh, like, oh, we're just expecting aliens to come out of nowhere. But I guarantee you it could be a lot more fully prepared than what we've been seeing on the TV screen or what we think may happen. I want to jump into what this brother asked me in an email about spiritual warfare and how to defeat it, how to fight against it, and what are the prayers that I would use to defeat spiritual warfare or unclean ruachs. Now, in scripture, it doesn't talk a whole lot in length of who and the names of certain ruachs that you would be going against. Now, we know certain chief demons that are very powerful, but let's say that these chief demons are too busy trying to prepare the New World Order and getting the Antichrist, so they're not going to be caring or even worrying about you because you're not that high up on the hierarchy of actually affecting what they're trying to do. So we would only know about the unclean ruachs, which don't have no name. It could be the ruach of fear. It could be the ruach that's mentioned in 1 Kings 22, 19. What am I going to do? Oh, 1 Kings chapter 22, 20 to 22. It says, "And Yahuwah said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a ruach, and stood before Yahuwah, and said, I will persuade him. And Yahuwah said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying ruach in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you shall persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth, and do so." So we know there is a lying ruach, or a ruach is willing to be a lying ruach. So whatever you are going against, whether it be the ruach of jealousy, the ruach of laziness, the ruach of anger or fear or whatever, you have to call it out as is. I doubt it's going to be Prince Mestima, which is mentioned in the book of Yasher. I doubt it's going to be Asmodeus, which is mentioned in the book Testament of Solomon, but also mentioned in Tobit. And it's, if you read the book of Tobit, it shows you, or it tells you how to defeat Asmodeus if you just so happen to come across this very, very powerful demon. Now, you would know this demon is powerful because he would have the ability to strangle. He would have the ability to kill. Like in Tobit, when Tobit was about to marry this woman has lost 7 husbands before they even got a chance to lay with her. Lost 7 husbands in the wedding chamber because Asmodeus was so infatuated with this woman that he kept strangling her would-be husbands. Now, I doubt any of us is going to be dealing with Asmodeus, but I think you should also read, the Testament of Solomon. Get that book. It's not many pages to that book. You have to get it off Amazon. And it talks about certain demons, certain chief demons that have the power to disguise themselves in dreams, whether it be man or woman, they come to play with the men. When you think you're having relations with your ex or relations with, you know, a woman that you wanted to be with, chances are you having wet dreams with a demon that's pretending to be a woman. I mean, I know that's embarrassing, right? That you actually go through a dream and you think it's a lucid, vivid dream, and you have one of these wet dreams by these water spirits, and it happens to be Ornias, which is his name, Ornias. And he laughs and he says, you know, sometimes I transform myself from man or female and I just play with the men. So just imagine the unclean ruachs that were disembodied from the days of Noah, how lascivious they were. Like I said, if the book of Deuteronomy had to put in laws that would tell you to stop having sex with animals and then also your relatives, just imagine how the height of wickedness and sexual immorality was back in the days of Noah. Just imagine. Without law, just imagine, yo. It with no shame at all. Everybody's out there pretty much butt naked. And you got the giants around. You got so much going on. And you know it had to be at the height of wickedness if the Most High said, you know what? I'm going to flush this entire world down the drain and start over. You know it had to be bad. So you would have to call these unclean ruachs out by name. Now, what I would do and how I fight this spiritual warfare is I don't even place, you know, I really don't. I usually just make sure I set my prayer right by giving the Most High Yahuwah his due. And also what I do, which is a little trick I think everybody, it's not really a trick, but it's something that you should do when you're praying against something, is to understand what the Most High Yahuwah has said in Yeshayahu 55, verses 9 through 13. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Yahuwah for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Most High is saying that whatever I put in these scriptures, it will not return unto me void. So what I would do was go through certain stories, just any examples of what the Most High has done for the Israelites, and then I turn it back on him. I would say, like, for instance, let's say Deuteronomy 4:31. For Yahuwah Elohaka is a merciful El. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore 7 oaths unto him. So how I pray, I would say, the Most High Yahuwah, you said that you will not forsake me if I do not forget the covenants, the commandments, and statutes that you called us to follow. You said you swore 7 oaths unto our fathers that you would protect us, provide for us. This is how the Most High will not be made a liar. This is how his word would not be turned to naught. That's how you pray a powerful prayer. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For Yahuwah Elohaka, he it is that goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. The Most High Yahuwah, you have said that you will not forsake us if we are strong and of good courage. You said you will not fail us if we be not afraid. That is a powerful prayer. You could go through other things that the Most High has done for, like say when Joshua or Moshe was told to stand, you know, put his hands over the head and make sure the battle of the Israelites versus the Hamites came to its victory without Moshe falling down. Just bring that up. And the Most High, you was with Moshe when he was tired. You was with Aaron when they were with Moshe holding his arms up for the victory of your people. Please stand with me, because I know if I be someone that you can use and follow your commandments and your statutes, that you will hold me up as you did Moshe. You got to put it back on the Most High. Like I said, his word will not return unto him void. He will send it to do exactly what it's meant to do. You have to phrase it and use it in a way that it would work for you. So that's how I battle in the spiritual warfare or in the spiritual world. It's not even really about whatever unclean walks I'm up against. I just know it's around. I can sense the presence. I would say just break down the stronghold of this, break down the stronghold of that. In the name of Yahusha, send them back to where they came. If the arrows come to me, turn them around and send them backwards. Know that I am your servant. Know that you have said that any unclean walk will never have dominion over us, but you are the one that will be the ruler over us, and you will send your angels as a protection or as a force to be with us wherever we go. That's how you say it, and you use it in the scriptures or in the stories that you find out about how he has protected the Israelites when they were righteous. I came up on Enoch 53, which will put this whole entire word in its, you know, perspective. Enoch 53 verses 3 through 7, I beheld the angels of punishment who were dwelling there and preparing every instrument of Satan. Then I inquired of the angel of peace who proceeded with me, for whom those instruments were preparing. He said, these they are preparing for the kings and powerful ones of the earth, that thus they may perish. So like I said, people worship Satan, and these Freemasons and these high order occultists worship Satan, yet everything they're doing with this New World Order is to be their destruction. So when he says every instrument of Satan, who knows what that is? We don't get to see what those instruments are, but we got to know that it has to be with weapons. It has to do with numerology. It has to do with signs and symbols. It has to do with AI and technology. There's no way in the world man could be this far advanced in technology in a very short period of time. It's either they had it and they've been holding on to it and waiting for the right time for it to be released, or the Most High has held it back to the right time for it to be released. No, there's no way in the world that men are this smart being this wicked. So you're trying to tell me they're this smart to create all this technology, but they've been talking about this technology in the 70s and the 60s. When we talk about weather manipulation, HAARP and DARPA, they've already been doing that in the Vietnam War. So just imagine when they had it then. And probably even before then. So these fallen angels have helped man, or helped Satan, with these instruments of war to help destroy themselves. So this whole thing about the nuclear warhead and atom bomb, all that nonsense, some of it I think is false and fake. If you ever seen the popular nuclear blast, when it, you know, the when the wind blows up against this model home and everything, and they may say it was fake, or it had been saying it was fake. I think Joe Rogan talked about it on his show, that it was all fake, that it really was no nuclear warhead or nuclear bomb. But obviously they can build a bomb big enough, like the like we saw at the Hiroshima and Nagasaki results of that. So they have a big enough bomb to cause big enough damage. And that could be something the instruments of war with Satan knows about. But no way in the world that these people can be this smart. There's no way. I mean, they have to be in wickedness and sin the entire time. And we know that when you are not righteous and you're unrighteous and you're wicked, that you're away from the wisdom of this world, like true wisdom. You're being allowed to be used as a puppet, basically. The more wicked you are, the more sinful you are not being used by the Most High Yahuwah. And so you cannot be in the same place of his Ruach of wisdom or the Ruach of his understanding. There's no way you can. No way you can. You're already set aside for something else. So it's just funny. It is. It's funny because no one should be scared of what's going to happen in this world, because right now they're getting ready to hang themselves. That's all they're doing. They're like Haman during the book of Esther, where he planned and plotted to try to hang Mordecai and expose Esther, and then he ended up building the instrument of his own destruction. Him and his family was hung in his house for what was meant for Mordecai. That's basically, it's just history playing over and over again, but on a larger scale. Anybody who's tried to plan something heavy against the righteous will always fall into the pit. Always. And that's what this instrument of war, these instruments that these fallen angels are preparing, they're preparing to wipe out the wickedness of this world. That's why the Most High says, I create evil and righteousness, the light and the dark. I do this. I was the one that allowed Prince Mastema to have a certain number of demons and chief demons to work under Satan. I was the one that did that. He just moved enough of them so man could thrive, because Noah, if you read the book of Yahshua, or I think Jubilees, Noah had to complain. It's like the unclean ruachs are overwhelming my children, my grandchildren. Can you please remove some of them so they we can at least thrive? And that's when Prismastema came out. I was like, look, just leave a percentage of them for me so I can work my will on the wickedness and the unrighteousness of man. It says, after which the righteous and chosen house of this of his assembly shall appear, and thenceforth unchangeable in the name of Yahuwah Sabaoth. Nor shall those mountains exist in his presence as the earth and the hills, as the fountains of water exist. And the righteous shall be relieved from the vexation of sinners. So we talk about that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That's only going to work if we're righteous. So any workings of Satan, any instruments of Satan is going to work against the unrighteous and against the wicked. Now, mind you, we know there's another story of that that's supposed to be used to try our faith, but that's something that the Most High is controlling. The Most High is controlling who is going to be selected and whose faith is going to be tried and who's going to be seen this glory of dying for the faith. That's the Most High's choosing. It has nothing to do with the instruments of Satan. Another brother asked about purgatory. Why did the Roman Catholic Church believe in purgatory? And he pointed out 2 Maccabees chapter 12, 38 through 45. So let's read that. So Yehuda gathered his host and came into the city of Adullam. And when the seventh day came, they purified themselves as the custom was and kept the Shabbat in the same place. And upon the day following, as the use had been, Yehuda and his company came to take up the bodies of them that were slain and to bury them with their kinsmen in their fathers' graves. Now under the coats of everyone that was slain, they found things consecrated to the idols of the Yamin, which is forbidden the Yehudim by the Torah. So this is about the Maccabean revolt, how the Grecians came down to Jerusalem and pretty much wreaked havoc. They took our scriptures, paint the likeness of their images in our scriptures. They threw the women from the walls headlong when they found that their sons were circumcised. They burned the Torah. They tried to get us and even tortured some of the Israelites for not eating swine's flesh or pig. Some of the priests or high priests were walking away from the temple and the altar and these statutes and commandments, and they chose to observe what it says, heathenish fashions, which they set up gymnasiums, a place to throw discus, and they got into the Olympic Games or just playing games around the temple and around Jerusalem. So you just imagine exactly what happened, the same thing that happened to us in this country. The cross of Christianity, mind you, like say we had the rosary. Some of us got into rosaries. I know I was the one that got into rosary because I thought they were cool. I didn't understand anything behind it other than it was a cool chain to wear. So just imagine I was slain and I'm sitting there with a rosary around my neck. It would be that. The reason why I'm slain because a false god or a false idol or a false religion around my neck. And this is what it would happen. This is what happened in Jerusalem. It says, then every man saw that this was the cause, whether they were slain. All men, therefore, praising Yahuwah, the righteous judge who had opened the things that were hid, betook themselves unto prayer and besought him that the sin committed might wholly be put out of remembrance. Besides that, noble Yehuda exhorted the people to guard themselves from sin, for so much as they saw before their eyes the things that came to pass for the sins of those that were slain. And when he had made a gathering throughout the company to the sum of 2,000 drachmas of silver, he sent it to Jerusalem to offer a sin offering, doing therein very well and honestly, and that he was mindful of the resurrection. For if he had not hoped that they that were slain should have risen again, it had been superfluous and vain to pray for the dead. And also in that he perceived that there was great favor laid up for those that died in righteousness. It was a holy and good thought, whereupon he made a reconciliation for the dead, that they might be delivered from sin. Now, mind you, when you're dead, you don't get delivered from sin. If you die in your sin, you die in your idol worshiping. If you die in your drunkenness, if you die in your lasciviousness, if you die in your whoredoms, if you die in adultery, then that's judgment. There's nothing you could do for that person or for yourselves once you're passed on. You die in your sins is double worse for you. So the whole thing about purgatory, I don't know where he was going with that, saying that why did the Roman Catholic Church believe in purgatory? But I do remember Truth, Brother Ron, had a recent video talking about the foundation of Christianity and how it came from these different council or Roman councils at that time. And I think one of the stories that he brought out was that people were paying. They were paying money to hold a plot, like paying money for people who are already passed on, either be in sin or righteousness. They were paying people for people who are already dead. So that's how that story connected with me. Maybe you would have thought that, you know, paying a sin offering, which is Grecian money, drachma is Grecian money. So why would the Most High take money for somebody who's already sinned and passed on? Obviously, they died sinning against the Torah. Money, especially from a heathenish nation, is not going to be accepted. I'm sorry. But I think this is the foundation of where being around the Grecians and being around the Romans for a time, that they started to merge their doctrine, which is the reason why they kept being destroyed. If you haven't seen that video that Brother Ron put out, watch that video. It 2 Maccabees chapter 12, verses 38 through 45. When you watch his recent video, you'll connect the dots. When you go through like the Council of Trent, Nicaea, I think it was another council that they had, and it was about parishioners understanding what our scriptures were, but choosing to do it a different way where it was acceptable for everybody else. They didn't want us to do our statutes, our ordinances, our feast days, our offerings, our sacrifice. They didn't want us to do that. They outlawed it for the Yehudim or the Yasharelis to do it. But they wanted to formulate something for them to use that power where they thought the power of the Most High Yahuwah was going to go with them because they perverted and manipulated the doctrine. They just wanted to do it for control. I don't know if they actually thought that the Most High Yahuwah was going to change nations just because they picked up the Torah and ran with it. I think they knew like, okay, we can obviously control people if we have something tangible, if we have something real. Because obviously Zeus ain't working, Aphrodite ain't working, Athena is not working. We need something. We need one thing that we can control rather than have many other gods where people are all spread out and making up excuses of why they don't follow one political agenda after another. Now we need one entity. So they came, when they came down and saw our scriptures, boom, we can just liken our images to the story, and we'll just go back to where we are and we'll say this is our story. This is how the whole Jesus Christ born in 300 AD was created. They knew what they were doing. They wanted to do this out of control, but they needed to have something tangible. Because obviously the polytheism at that time wasn't working, or it wasn't as popular as it was when Yahusha stepped on the scene. That was too powerful. They understood that power, and they wanted to take that power and use it to their own paganism. So that's what they did. That's what Christians follow today. I think Brother Ron did an excellent job bringing that information out. Another thing that's in the news is Donald Trump is moving military. Well, it's not Donald Trump. It's basically Israel telling Donald Trump to move military to the Middle East as Iran fails to make a deal ahead of a key deadline. And this deadline just so happens to end right before Purim. So this is how I know that we're not supposed to be on their particular calendar. And I know certain Israelites are still on Judaic calendar and following their calendar. Because no way in the world the Most High would ever place his calendar in alignment with a religion. this goes to what Yahusha said, that heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. And that means whatever's hidden in that field, I guarantee you the deepest of deep parables, dark sentences, where the biblical lands are, and find out that calendar is all part of the secrets and the treasures of heaven hidden in this field. But they say Purim is a joyous Jewish holiday, which is not, that celebrates the deliverance of the Jewish people from a plot to annihilate them in the ancient Persian Empire. It is observed annually on the 14th day of Adar in the Hebrew calendar, typically falling in February or March on the Gregorian calendar. See, we shouldn't even be on that. In 2026, Purim begins at sundown on March 2nd and continues through March 3rd, with an extension in Jerusalem and certain walled cities on the 15th, known as Shushan Purim. Now, I'm not even close to that. I think I'm still 5 months out. But there's going to be a blood moon or total lunar eclipse March 3rd. So you got to know they're going to start everything through numerology. And I said this before. I said if they didn't do it that weekend where it had 33 attached to it, they could most certainly do it that day. March 3rd, that's 3-3, and it's a blood moon. It can't get even more obvious than that. So, like I said, time and time again, if you understand just a little bit of numerology and know a little bit about what's going on, especially through their feast days and how they do things, so you learn how to be separate or set apart from their calendar. So once you are set apart from their calendar, you can truly see how everything moves and how they use numerology and how they use the Bible and feast days to bring about their rituals, their psyops, to make it seem like they are the people of the book when they are actually manipulating or imitating or mocking the words and scriptures of the book. So get ready. It should be easily seen. This is how I know that the Most High is not going to come on no Gregorian date. He's not going to come based on 33 numerology or even 666 numerology. That's for people who don't truly understand what's going on, who are not using their ruach, are not using their discernment to know what's going on. The Most High pretty much told us from the beginning until the end and in the middle, like, this is what I'm going to do. You need to prepare about this is what I'm going to do, especially in the book of Baruch, 2nd Baruch, chapter 27. He said that he's going to intermingle certain events, certain destructions or judgments, mingle them in with each other. This is him preparing us for what's coming. Easily, like when I saw that, like you saw those little, lightnings. They call it lightnings or stars. Like they say it was asteroids falling from the sky. But every time they tell you that it'd be asteroids or meteors falling from the sky, they never tell you when to prepare if it would ever hit anybody. You ever notice that? That these little, when you see the videos or the news stories of there's like a big ball of flashing light and then it fizzes out. And they tell them people like, oh yeah, it was a comet, it was meteor shower, or it's space debris. Mind you, if it was space debris, you trying to tell me from all the way up in space, you didn't know or could tell people to watch out if it was falling from the sky? Why does it get to somebody's doorbell cam to be like, oh yeah, don't worry about it? Now, mind you, I know they're lying because I've seen these bright balls of light flashing and then fizzing out. I seen them when I was flying back from Kansas City one time, and I seen two of them at the same time. And I will show you where in the Testament of Solomon, where the explanation of that is. Found it. It's in the Testament of Solomon, page 39. It says, we demons ascend into the firmament of heaven and fly about among the stars. And we hear the sentences of which go forth upon the souls of men. And forthwith we come, whether by force of influence or by fire or by sword or by some accident, we veil our act of destruction. Solomon goes, tell me how you can ascend into heaven being demons and amidst the stars and holy angels intermingle. And he answered, just as things are fulfilled in heaven, so also on earth are fulfilled. This is where we get the whole as above, so below. For there are principalities, authorities, world rulers, and we demons fly about in the air, and we hear the voices of the heavenly beings, and survey all their powers, and as having no ground on which to light and rest, we lose strength and fall off like leaves from trees. And men seeing us imagine that the stars are falling from heaven. Like I said, it's like this bright flash you see, and then it fizzes out. It's always the same. And men seeing us imagine that the stars are falling from heaven, but it is not really so, O king. But we fall because of our weakness, and because we have nowhere anything to lay hold of, and so we fall down like lightnings in the depth of night and suddenly. For the stars have firm foundations in the heavens, like the sun and the moon. So the Most High said in 2 Baruch chapter 27 that we would see the manifestation of demons and unclean ruachs in spiritual matters. And people don't understand. This is what they're seeing. Every time the news show you, like, oh, this guy's door cam has caught a comet shower or a meteor shower or space debris. No, what you're seeing is demons coming, falling from listening to the angels, listening to whatever is being done upon earth. It could be through blessing, it could be through curse, it could be whatever the Most High has told his messengers, his sons, of what to do. Mind you, remember when we read in Book of Daniel, when there was an angel that was sending a message, he had to fight through a chief demon that was over a type, over a particular territory, and he had to have helped in order to get Daniel this message. Now, just imagine, we don't get to see these angels like we like they saw these angels back then. We wouldn't even know if we had an angel talk to us, because you know Paul said that. You know, don't forget to entertain strangers because you may be entertaining angels unaware. Well, we wouldn't know that. We truly wouldn't know because some of these angels will come out in full form and be like, oh, and the Israelites will fall to their, you know, to the ground and be like, oh, please forgive me. And the angels had to keep telling them, stand up, stand up. Like, you don't have to worship me. I'm here to give you a message. But just the fear of you seeing a full blown angel in your midst, and you like you had it would seem like you feel like you had to fall down and worship them because it's something completely different from an ordinary man. But we don't get to have, you know, that pleasure right now. Maybe we will when you see everything, you know, peeled back and the veil taken away from this place. Maybe we get to see it, but for right now, we don't. So what you actually see on the news stories is actually demons falling off, trying to listen to what's going on. Maybe about you. Who knows? I would like to think of like those two lightnings that I saw outside my plane when I was flying back home. I would like to think that maybe there was an angel next to me or around me or talking about me, that these demons fell close to where this plane was. And I know that the pilots didn't know what was going on because I knew they weren't rocks. They weren't meteors. They weren't showers. They weren't space debris. It was nothing. It was just demons falling because they didn't have anything to light on or to alight on or rest on. You should look that up, really. Look it up. Look up the fireball falls from the sky and you just be amazed of how people are dumbfounded and think it's everything else but a demon. And that's only because they don't have the information to know exactly what it is. But if you're seeing this now more and more every day, not every day, but if you're seeing this more frequently, you got to know that the sins of this world is starting to evolve in a way that the Most High cannot turn his ear away from it for long. Fourth book of Ezra, chapter 15, I'll start at verse 8. I will hold my tongue no more as touching their wickedness, which they profanely commit. Neither will I suffer them in those things in which they wickedly exercise themselves. Behold, the innocent and righteous blood cries out unto me, and the souls of the just complain continually. So the Most High hears when we complain. He hears the righteous blood from the ground, even since the days of Cain and Abel. He can hear it. And therefore, says Yahuwah, I will surely avenge them and receive unto me all the innocent blood from among them. Behold, my people are led as a flock to the slaughter. I will not suffer them now to dwell in the land of Mizraim, but I will bring them with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm and smite Mizraim with plagues as before, and will destroy all the land thereof. Now we know America is like second Egypt. And I feel the Most High is talking about America in this passage. Mizraim shall mourn, and the foundation of it shall be smitten with the plague and punishment that Elohim shall bring upon it. They that till the ground shall mourn, for their seed shall fail through the blasting and hail, and with a fearful constellation. Woe to the world and them that dwell therein. So what he's saying, this is a future prophecy, future plagues. There's nobody in Egypt like that, that the Most High hasn't already done what he's done to it already. He's already dispersed the Hamites out of Mizraim. Mizraim is not the same power in the days when the Israelites were in captivity or bondage there. He's talking about America. For the sword and their destruction draws nigh, and one people shall stand up and fight against another, and swords in their hands. For there should be sedition among men, and invading one another, they shall not regard their kings nor princes, and the course of their actions shall stand in their power. A man shall desire to go into a city, and shall not be able. For because of their pride, the city shall be troubled, the houses shall be destroyed, and men shall be afraid. A man shall have no pity upon his neighbor, but shall destroy their houses with the sword, and spoil their goods, because of the lack of bread, and for great tribulation. So when AI starts to really funnel into this system, and you start seeing people being laid off left and right, the poor people aren't going to rob with people poorer than themselves. So people made all these jokes about Donald Trump shutting off food stamps and other services that taxpayers didn't want to pay for, but you should want to pay for them, because who you think they're going to rob from? You think the have-nots are going to rob for the have-nots? No, they're going to rob for people who are in the middle to middle to lower class. That's what they're going to go for. If they're not going to stay in their neighborhoods, their slums, their ghettos, they're going to go to where the resources are. And this is why I said, you might as well put away all of your vices. You might as well put away all of your wickedness. Because you do not want to go through judgment where one of these characters that's sent to your household to prove your faith because you were zealous enough. So if you are hoarding up resources and goods and like, oh, I'm good with the Most High, but you're still living in sin or unrighteousness, the Most High could spoil your household and give your goods to somebody who's truly righteous and poor or poor. Because it says in scripture that the Most High hears the prayers of the poor. It also tells us, I can't find it right now, but it also tells us never to piss off a poor man. If you have the ability to give, give. Because if he complains, the Most High is going to hear him over you. Behold, says Elohim, I will call together all the kings of the earth to reverence me, which are from the rising of the sun, from the south, from the east, and Lebanon, to turn themselves one against another and repay the things that they have done to them. Like as they do yet this day unto my chosen, so will I do also in recompense in their bosom. Thus says Yahuwah, my right hand shall not spare the sinners, and my sword shall not cease over them that shed innocent blood upon the earth. The fire has gone forth from his wrath and has consumed the foundations of the earth, and the sinners like the straw that is kindled. Woe to them that sin and guard not my commandments, says Yahuwah. It ain't me saying it. I'm telling you, this is what he said. So you, if you come into the knowledge of who the Most High Yahuwah is, if you're walking in righteousness and uprightness, search more or seek him 10 times after you have found him. I will not spare them. Go your way, ye children from the power. Defile not my sanctuary. For Yahuwah knows all of them that sin against him, and therefore delivers he them unto death and destruction. For now the plagues come upon the whole earth, and ye shall remain in them, For Yahuwah shall not deliver you because ye have sinned against him. Behold, a horrible vision and the appearance thereof from the east, where the nations of the dragons of Arab shall come out with many chariots, and the multitude of them shall be carried as wind upon the earth, and that all they which hear them may fear and tremble. Now, it said the dragons of Arab, A-R-A-V, which is really, Arab, not Arab. Well, I thought it was Arab, but Arab. Well, it could be Arab. It says the inhabitants of Arabia. Also, the Carmenians, raging in wrath, shall go forth as the wild boars of the wood, and with great power shall they come, and join battle with them, and shall waste a portion of the land of Ashur, which is in northern Africa. Then shall the dragons have the upper hand, remembering their nature, and if they shall turn themselves, conspiring together in great power to persecute them, then these shall be troubled, bled, and keep silence through their power, and shall flee. And from the land of Ashur shall the enemy besiege them and consume some of them, and in their hosts shall be fear and dread and strife among their kings. Behold, clouds from the east and from the north unto the south, and they are very horrible to look upon, full of wrath and storm. They shall smite one upon another, and they shall smite down a great multitude of stars upon the earth, and even their own star, and blood shall be from the sword unto the belly, and dung of men unto the camel's hoof. So he's going to be giving people the bubble guts. I'm telling you, people don't understand what we are about to see. Destruction on top of destruction, famine on top of famine, death on top of death, and people not knowing through this spirit or this ruach of the stupor that the Most High is going to be placing on the inhabitants of this world. I'm telling you, I don't think, and none of us are going to be prepared for this. It says, like as you have done unto my chosen, says Yahuwah, even so shall I do unto you, and shall deliver you into mischief. Your children shall die of hunger, and you shall fall through the sword. Your city shall be broken down, and all yours shall perish with the sword in the field. They that be in the mountains shall die of hunger and eat their own flesh and drink their own blood for very hunger of bread and thirst of water. You as an unhappy shall come through the sea and receive plagues again. And in the passage, they shall rush on the idol city and shall destroy some portion of your land and consume part of your glory and shall return to Babel that was destroyed. And you shall be cast down by them as stubble, and they shall be unto you as fire, and shall consume you and your cities, your land and your mountains, all your woods and your fruitful trees shall they burn up with fire. Your children shall they carry away captive, and look, what you have, they shall spoil it and mar the beauty of your face. This is the patience and the word of the saints. Now, this, like I said, the Most High has says this, so I know what he said will not return to him in void. That is already set out to do exactly what he said it's going to do. Right now, like I said before, I use this analogy a lot. This game has already been called. Already been called. We're just living through the color commentary. We're just catching up to what's already happened. The Most High has already set destruction in place. It's already on a timeline. This is why he says, I will not disturb the seasons. I will not disturb the consummation of times. Now, I planted you in a season, and I expect you to blossom and bud through the season I give you. If you are late in this season, I am not withholding anything like the days of old where I withheld the sun and the moon a whole day. I'm not doing it with this nation. I'm not doing it with this world. I'm ready for the consummation of times. I sped up times to make sure that you wouldn't see the brunt force of this wickedness. I'm saving you from this, but I've also planted you in a season for you to blossom and perform works and show forth the fruit of your righteousness by me planting you, watering you, seasoning you, showing you the way, giving you the light. Now, if you don't come up in this, hey, what am I going to do? I've already told you. Yahushua told you to prepare your oil for your lamp, so you don't have to go back and buy more oil and then be locked out when the door is closed. He's saying, I'm already set. He's telling you, I'm coming at a time. You should be watching for me. And when it's time for me to leave or it's time for that door to be shut, it's going to be shut. Now, you should be doing all you can to be connected to the Most High Yahuwah. Learn the way he communicates with you. Learn how to pray. Learn how to defeat whatever spiritual war you're going through so you can prove yourself and your faith how to rely on him when times get more crazy. This is the grace period that we've getting, that we are given. Mind you, it's not very long. This is not like the days of Noah where they had 125 years to prepare this ark. We are preparing our own arks right now, and we don't get 125 years. We're getting maybe 10 to 15 years at best. At best. What you do with that time is on you.